episode 474 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of July 4th through July 10th, 2026. What's new this week? We call for anarchist participation from contropolis.info. An area in Germany called Wedding will soon be the site of weapons manufacturing, and there is a call for anarchist resistance to that. This piece points out some of the recent changes leading up to this increased militarization. Quote, "It's not by chance that a weapons manufacturer is now operating in our neighborhood. In the name of public safety, Wedding has been already militarized. We can't walk a few meters without seeing a police van. Young people are constantly stopped and searched by the cops. Leopoldplatz is now a Waffenverbotszone. Please open your bag so we can check you don't have a knife on you, but also enjoy these locally produced biobullets. And let's not forget that back in March, the house on Scherestrasse, where we and other groups meet and organize, was raided. These measures strengthen the narrative of Wedding as a territory that needs to be tamed, not just to ensure safety, but to make way for economic development. Development for whom? Safety for whom?" Unquote. The only terrorist is the state. Yep, yep.
Wedding?
Wedding, probably, to be, you know, kosher.
Doesn't make it better. Solidarity with the 9 anarchists persecuted in Italy in the latest operation. From contropolis.info. Contropolis is a German site that has tabs for things like anti-fascism, feminism, anti-militarism, technology, etc. This is a very short report of a banner drop for Italian anarchists and in memory of Sarah and Sandro.
Update on the imprisonment of Dimitris Chatzivasiliadis from Abolition Media. Chatzivasiliadis goes into some detail about how fucked up the court is and has been to him, including accepting contradictory information in order to punish him and sentencing him to another longer than normal sentence. There is legal jargon here, or perhaps unfortunate translations, or maybe both, but one doesn't have to follow every word to know this is another case of a court system working against, well, you know, us, like they do.
The dogs bark, but the caravan goes on. From Organize by Don Diego de la Vega. De la Vega makes an impassioned plea for less ego in organizing, putting in appropriate caveats like, quote, "a libertarian and also revolutionary movement without self-criticism rots from within. It can have impeccable discourse and a combative and appealing aesthetic, but if it is not able to review its practices, recognize mistakes, and transform its dynamics, it ends up doing more branding than politics," unquote. Etc. On the face of it, this text is fine. But without some clear guidance about how to recognize when, for example, criticism is appropriate, and when it's grandstanding or only performative, it's not as helpful as De La Vega probably wants it to be. Sometimes the dogs are barking for real.
A new Proudhon library, Next Steps, from Libertarian Labyrinth by Sean Wilbur. For someone who has a hard time theoretically and practically with most historians, I have a deep fondness for Sean and his projects. This is a post about his continuing work on translating and publishing Proudhon, with all the complications that come with working on a person who comes with a lot of known cultural baggage and current criticism. Quote, "I engage in a bit of speculation about how the collective love-hate relationship between anarchism and Proudhon has shaped translation efforts, and should shape any edition of his works. My thesis is that, beneath the various specific purposes to which we are putting, or would like to put, Proudhon, the problem that we share is a kind of general uncertainty about Proudhon's project. General problems call for general solutions, and while various other kinds of more narrowly translation projects might also move forward, there seems to be a need, if we are to address our general uncertainty, to produce an edition of Proudhon's works, inclusive and uniform enough for us to understand his works as a body." Unquote. Partly what I like is probably the engagement with both history and the current day, explicitly engaging the relationship. Also, his handmade books are extremely desirable print objects. If you know, you know.
Audio and video. Kafa on Modern Warfare in Ukraine. From Live Like the World is Dying with Magpie, an hour. A conversation with a drone operator in the Ukraine. This talk demonstrates the near impossibility of anyone not in the Ukraine at least anyone with any compassion at all, to have a valid anarchist conversation with someone who is in Ukraine right now. Kaffa is young and dealing with the emotional consequences of wartime. It is not possible to talk about the various options available to anarchists in such a situation without seeming to criticize their choices, certainly not as someone who has not had to make those same choices. However, it is still disappointing that Magpie does nothing to push back on the idea that the choices for Ukrainian anarchists are either to fight in the military or to do nothing. Also to say that the only anarchist response that Magpie has heard from Ukrainian anarchists is to fight in the military. People paying attention to any news stories know that that is not true. So this podcast is propaganda, and honestly, I expect more of Magpie. The continuing conversation gets into relative flexibility inside the military, which raises the question of how anarchist tactics can be used for statist means. How can one thread the needle of A, wanting to hear from anarchists in the Ukraine, B, wanting to understand how they negotiate the situation they're in, C, wanting to keep in mind that there are more options than presented by this specific anarchist, and D, being compassionate and kind. One response would be to talk to more than one person and have on people with really different conclusions. Another would be to talk to the person ahead of time off air to let them know you want to ask about these specific things that will be hard and let them decide for themselves to go ahead or not. There are probably others, but Magpie does a disservice here. It's a bummer. At 30-40, Magpie gets to the real purpose of this talk, which is what does modern war look like from the ground? How might we imagine a war in the U.S.? There is worthwhile information here, so if you're going to listen to this, I'd start there.
Hello, this is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And this is the topic of the week. National Identity and Anarchy, posted on July 6, 2026.
I've been thinking, you know, about countries. I'm writing this from a place of the old coot, who inadvertently brought me to the anarchy I know today, called the Untidy Snakes of Americlan, something that always got him riled up. Other than Maoists being allowed at May Day, was when people would refer to the CNTFAI of 1936 with the shorthand of the Spanish Anarchists. They weren't all Spaniards, for one, and anarchists in Spain didn't stop existing in 1939. Yet for many, the Spanish Anarchists are trapped in time and place, a Promethean eternity of reliving their noble defeat at Brunei. I find myself repeating the arrogance of perceiving homogeneity in anarchists often. The Greek anarchists are squatters and bomb makers. The French anarchists will riot if someone looks at them the wrong way. The Chilean anarchists, and truly South and Central American anarchists broadly, are the last bastion of punk as a true subcultural anti-authoritarian statement. The German anarchists are so preoccupied with their national shame that they just can't find the spine to oppose Israel no matter what it does. And the U.S. is split evenly between crybaby communists who prefer the aesthetics of anarchy over Soviet and insufferably pompous academics who couldn't put their words into action if their lives depended on it. Clearly, these are not accurate statements. They are stereotypical, romantic, critical, imagined beliefs of what these people could be like, occasionally fed confirmation bias through articles and comments on this very website. On the regional scale, it can be even more specific. Don't bother asking me about how I feel about Portland. I wonder often if this is a global tendency to paint the anti-nationalists of a nation with the same brush, or maybe, deeply ironically, it might be a uniquely American thing to do. I wonder if this simplification makes things easier for me, giving me more time to deal with what's local to me with less effort worrying about what's going on far away. Or harder for me by limiting the scope of experiences I can pull from. I know I wish I weren't doing it nearly so much and have been taking care to be more intentional with these considerations, but enough about me. I want to hear from you. Tell me, anarchists, does the country you come from play a role in your anarchy? What is its impact? Do you consider any aspect of your anarchy to be unique to where you live? Are those aspects desirable? How do you view anarchists from your country, from others? How do you think those outside your country view you? How do you hope to be viewed? Much to think about.
Should I start? Yes.
Sure.
So, everyone knows, or most people know, that national identities are all like a construct, and they are fabricated artificially because there was a moment in every place that we know as a country right now that they were trying to establish a kind of government or something, a unity of some kind. Here in the US, there was like the Civil War thing. There was a big moment on it. But anyway, the thing is that these moments are moments when there are made up symbols. There are heroes are created, founding fathers, whatever. All this is created artificially and is spread out. And that obviously happened with the place I came from too. And I think that they are all artificial, but we are in a point in history that it has been long enough that these creations, at least, I think in some countries it didn't yet, like where there's more movement and things shifting around. But some places, this kind of changes, this kind of investment, I'll call it that, have like they already influence in some way, like the newer generations. I'm including myself there. You know, like I was already born and raised in a place where there was this history and in some way and these symbols and all that. And I think that end up do influence you for better or worse, you know, the way you think about things and the way you view things and the place and all that. I can keep talking or...
I'm listening.
Okay. I do think, though, there is something, even if there was, like, no national identity, there is also something that is the local thing where you're raised, how you're raised, the things that are surround you, like some shared experience. I think that that's what creates kind of the culture of the places. It's like some shared experience. And I also think that anarchy itself has like different cultures. And one thing that I notice when I went to different places is sometimes I meet, like, I can tell like that I meet some people that are closer to my anarchist culture and some people that are not. But I can also recognize them like in the place where I'm from, because there is also different kind of anarchists that populate there.
Yes, you always know when you've like gone to another country and run into like the kind of anarchist that you don't hang out with in your country, but since they're the anarchists you've run into, you're hanging out with them anyway.
Or you find the people that you hang out and you click immediately. And some things are easier to understand. You know, there is also that.
Yeah, no, I mean, sometimes the anarchists that you don't hang out with in your country, you click with in another country as well, you know? It can kind of go every way, yeah.
But I mean, the point is there is also, like, some part of the anarchist cultures,
yes,
that they also... They also influence, you know, I don't think that a person that comes from a country, like, their anarchism is exclusive from their country, but there's also this influence of what kind of anarchists,
yeah,
they connect to. And of course, there's no purity here, like, no one is just one type, but there is, you know, there is some tendencies,
oh, yeah,
whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a... The difference between, like, nationality and culture gets, like, thin, just because I think people sometimes, like, use the terms interchangeably, like, in this case, you know? Like, if you have an anarchist culture that has developed, or a whole people culture, right, that's developed, and the thing is, like, state borders sometimes have a lot to do with how cultures develop because of, like, what living under certain types of governments does to people, right? So, like, if there are people who lived under a dictatorship for 80 years, you know, while the countries next to them did not, then people from that country may interpret acts of authority differently, you know, than people even just not that many miles from them.
And then similarly,
I think just even like mountainous versus like people in the flat bits and stuff like that can have some. And so I think you can get, anarchist cultures, and oftentimes those cultures after, you know, 200 years of nation states or whatever, can be reflected, you know, can sometimes approximate national nation state boundaries.
Yeah, the thing is also like the same way you like when you meet your crew, you also start to realizing some things that are very particular about them, and that and even though like they share the same anarchist theoretical background, but they also like you started also noticing, but it takes time, like I think for you to start noticing what is the specific of the place. The person who wrote they say that like is it the person or is it the person who comment? I don't remember. But they mentioned that this thing of needing to spend like a long time, I think it's in the comment, a long time in the place until you realize that. And I remember I had an anthropology professor that would spend like years in with indigenous groups and like with the same group like for decades, not years, decades. And she always said like she didn't took much seriously anthropologists that study indigenous cultures and wouldn't spend like many years with them. She said because she always said you can't really grasp the things like until you spend a lot of time, and I think there's some truth to it. I think maybe it's not 100% true. You know, you can always, there's something, you can have some feelings or something. Now I'm not talking about indigenous groups specifically.
Sure.
I'm talking about different cultures in general. But yeah, I do think there is something. But in the sense there is, that I would maybe disagree a little. Because I also think about my experience coming from a different country, and there is this thing that it's kind of obvious. I think it is maybe for anarchists it's obvious. When I mention it to other people, they don't see it as obvious, but there is something like the more you zoom out, there are more similarities between some groups, you know, like I'm from a specific neighborhood in this specific, and there is like some characteristics that the people from there share. But when I go to, let's say, a different state or a different, then some of this, you know, you start to identify some of your let's say, state characteristics in relation to the other. Like, always, there is always this comparison with the what is different.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, as I'm here, like, I'm part of a block that if I zoom in, my experience is very different, but in other senses, it's very similar. So I do carry some things of this whole group that is not just even my country, you know,
yeah.
a class of people that has this some shared experience. And it has to do with, I think, mostly with geography in that sense. But yeah, it's not just now my mind is going, sorry. My mind is going to a lot of places right now because I'm thinking it's not just geography. It's also, it does have to do with some, like, what you chose to do in your life. Like, I'm sure, like, people who hitchhike the whole country have a different experience. Yeah. You know?
I think we're painting with broader brushes here.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's saying that every anarchist from a country,
I know,
area.
but what I'm trying to say here is also like a person who spent like a lot of time of their life, their youth life, traveling, like, and didn't stop much, they have a similar experience with other, maybe with another person from that comes from a different country, but they, you know, they have that. I'm just tripping. What makes, like, what creates different cultures that it's not just the geographical thing.
Yeah. I don't know prior to, like, the internetization to some degree of,
yeah, that fucked it all up.
Well, no, what I was gonna say is it's sometimes difficult to tell because I do feel like different strains essentially have, like, franchises in different countries, you know? So, I mean, like, I think, right, like, after 2008, like, the large parts of the U.S. milieu became very fixated on Greece, you know? And prior to that, like, prior to the Greek riots, right, which probably if they'd happened in 98, we wouldn't have been nearly as familiar with. We'd have known about them, but we wouldn't have, you know, had footage and you know, missives coming out all the time. I mean, the face of U.S. anarchy changed dramatically in just a few years, you know. There was cultural stuff here that shifted some of that, right? You've got the Green Scare going on where, like, what I would have argued was, like, the main hot strain of anarchy got, like, deeply attacked by the state. And then at the same time, there was, like, kind of like a new sexy one, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know to what degree things are, because I was thinking about, like, individualist anarchism. Like, I was racking my brain for things that could affect anarchist cultures, right? And, like, Greece and, like, Europe are easy ones for me to think of, where you have, like, when I was young, I think Interpol called Greece, Spain, and Italy the Mediterranean Triangle of anarchist violence. You know, those are, right, all countries that have had, like, dictatorships or, you know, military juntas, like, within the 20th century. You know, within the 20th century, and in Italy's case, like, not so recently as Spain and Greece, but, like, I don't know, had, like, a lot of, like, covert far-right suppression of the left, you know, in ways that some other countries had less so. And there's other stuff where just, like, individualist anarchism just hits different in a place that has, like, high union density and, like, an actual functional left, right, then it hits in, like, the U.S., you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, individualist anarchism, you know, really is, like, fixated on the individual, not just, like, the rejection of the blob, but, like a pioneer vibes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think...
I don't know if I understand.
Like, I don't think it's, like, a coincidence that, like, Thoreau, Edward Abbey, and Ted Kaczynski, like, all come out of, like, a U.S. Anarchist culture, right? And they're mm-hmm. these, like, right? They're not individualist anarchists the way that, like, Conspiracy Cells of Fire are individualist anarchists, right? They're... Mm-hmm. They're, like, dudes who, like, try to, like, live in the middle of nowhere, non-collectively off the land.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yes, but there is something about Thoreau specifically that it's also something that was not maybe so verbally said, but it's not that he was completely isolated. It's just, like, his connection... And I don't know if Kaczynski wrote about something about it. I don't know. But the thing is, there is a thing of recognizing that when you're surrounding by beings that are not human beings, you're still surrounding by things that you're connected in some way, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, but I'm just saying it's a very different flavor of anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I understand and I agree in some sense, but I also.
I'm not saying that they're unique points in an ocean of what. But I am saying that it looks really different than, like, the European take on individualism. You know, like they're not the Bonneau gang. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. They are predicated on. Wilderness.
Yeah.
You know, large swaths of wilderness. And are not like the animals in your area can work with you, unlike anarchy, but they're not working with you consciously on, like, an anarchist project. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's something else about, like, how the anarchist culture travels that it has to do with also with the colonialism and how it shifts in the world. Like, I think that I come from a country that was colonized by Europeans, and when the in that sense the how anarchists got here was very similar to how anarchists got to the place I'm from, and it's yeah, and they brought their but also, like, the culture in the place I'm from, because it's not just a colonized country, but it's a country that embraced its colonizer completely, even though, like, there are people protesting and saying that it's, and there was the whole national identity, but people embrace the thing, like, oh, we were colonized by Europeans, blah, 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 blah. And in general, like, that's the feeling, and that's something, like, that growing up you learn to reject. But all that to say that I think that influenced the kind of anarchism and the kind, not just the kind of anarchism, the way we see the world. Because when I went to Europe, I felt culturally much more at home than when I came to the U.S. the first time. Mm. When it for me, it was much more a cultural shock coming to the U.S. that is...
And you feel like the same is true for the anarchism in those places?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, Because my point was going to be much more would my point was going shift toward like a generation thing, because I think that recently like the US became much more the colonizer, including like the place where I'm from. It's been much more colonized by US. It started with me, like, there, it's not a coincidence that punk got to a lot of, you know, because it also came, I mean, not from the US, but through, and there is like, and this you can see this American influence in the newer anarchism. I think the newer anarchists where I'm from, they look much more like the young anarchists. So there is this generation thing, and I do think that maybe the older anarchists, even here, they still carry some more like some European trait, anarchist European traits, and so it, in that sense, like depending on from what era you are from, it does has also like an impact if I'm how I connect or not with you.
I mean, I think like a lot of times, right, anarchism may in some ways at least, yeah, be deeply influenced by, like, one of my friends, it's safe to make fun of Italians, so I'll go there, where like one of my friends after spending some time in Italy was like, yeah, polyamory has not really caught on in the anarchist milieu there. They just cheat on each other still instead, you know, and get very angry about it. Which, like, if you're gonna ask me like how Italians broadly would handle like polyamory, I'd be like, that's what I would assume, you know. Yeah. That's not just anarchists, right? That's, but even the anarchist, you know.
Yes. It's the place you grew. It's as we fight against all these things that were built in a. But it's not like it won't change from, you know, there, some things are very, and the older you are and the longer you spend in the place, the longer those things are actually in you. And of course, and I say, we fight, Americans fight what they were, the things that they were raised to believe and to, but there, some of it's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and definitely being, like, growing up as an American anarchist, I identified a lot but differently with what the author was saying about German anarchists, where, like, they have their, like, national shame that keeps them from being, like, critical of Israel a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I definitely, yeah, feel like anti-imperialism, but both from being in the U.S. and also just from, like, having grown up in an era where the anarchist milieu overlapped a lot with the anti-globalization movement.
Yeah.
There's
also that. There is, like, the anti-globalization movement was something that shaped a lot, like, a lot of anarchists. Like, it was maybe at the same time, and because of internet and all that, you know? Like, and I think I come from this generation specifically, and then you meet people in other countries that had, like, a similar experience that you, and I would say like 68, you know, to take another a big right. moment, there was also like this shared this moment where you had a shared experience internationally, not just locally.
But yeah, where I think I have knee-jerk reactions to I think anti-imperialism features heavily in my worldview as a result, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's definitely like certain things that I get stuck on. Even like between states at times, you know, where I'm like, Yeah, it goes beyond just being like against U.S. intervention sometimes. But anyway, and yeah, so it's stuff you get kind of wrapped up in.
Yeah.
And yeah, and also like, yeah, thinking that, you know, like the U.S. As like the great Satan, you know.
Yeah.
I find that like the IMF and World Bank feature heavily in like my interpretations of things, even domestically, you know, like the lens that I view even like Imperial Boomerang stuff through now and like all that kind of stuff. And that I think, yeah, I don't know to what degree like anarchists elsewhere like fixate on those things the same way I do.
I think that anarchists that come from, and I think that has a generational thing. That I think this generation you're talking fixate on it a little bit more, and that's why, and that reminds me also, that's why it's important like for different generations to keep talking to each other, to share experience, and that sometimes doesn't happen, which sucks. But yeah, I think anyway.
But yeah, I feel like sometimes definitely generation I think can supersede national tendencies for anarchists a lot of them. Like I think that there's like I think that the other thing that happens in 2008, other than like Greece popping off super hard, is just like the 2008 economic collapse, you know?
Yeah.
Or also, yeah, you see like the US pivot to like a much more, I won't say class oriented, but like social oriented anarchism, like between like the green anarchist milieu being just like viciously attacked by the state, and then like people all over the country like losing their houses to banks and shit like that, you know? And like mass unemployment, and you definitely see a pivot, I would say, yeah, away from a fixation on like anti-tech and wilderness and stuff of that nature, you know, which makes sense to some degree, because that's like and within a couple of years you also like, when we were young there was the whole like 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, or carbon in the atmosphere, whatever it is, you know, where it's like, oh, once we go past that, then we're gonna have catastrophic climate change. And like, I do feel like there was something after we blew past that, you know, that was like, the focus has to change to some degree, you know, like I feel like there was an urgency before that was reapplied elsewhere afterwards, you know.
Yeah. But one thing that you said when you were talking about your experience and being like anti-imperialist and all that, and I'm thinking one way where like locally and or each country like can shape people's experience is, it also it has to do with this what are you fighting against, and in that sense, but I think it has to do with a lot with the place where you live, because you are feeling that like that, and the, in the sense that, yeah, anarchism against the state and against the government and all that, and so it's also what shapes you. It's like what you are on your daily basis fighting against, so that would, yeah. So yeah, depending on the kind of,
yeah, I mean, like Ukrainian anarchists have a very strange relationship right now, and I'm not criticizing it at all, but like have a very strange relationship with like their state's military, you know.
Yeah.
In a way that is hard to, would be very hard to recreate. I can't imagine recreating that hardly anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Right now at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at the question. So the first one is, does the country you come from play a role in your anarchism? I think yes, answer that already.
I think the Ukrainian thing, too, is it's an interesting cultural experiment, right? Where not only does it have an interest, does the anarchist milieu there have an interesting relationship with, like, their state's military, but, like, once that conflict ends, like, what will be the long-term, again, like, yeah, like, anarcho-cultural, like, the long-term effects of, yeah, having a lot of your anarchists having participated in, like, military conflict.
Yeah, but there were also the anarchists that
I'm not talking about, like, individual by individual. I'm talking about, like broad swaths that affect, like, the culture of a whole milieu.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Can you read the other questions? Sorry, yeah. I was going to take note. I didn't. Apologize for whoever is...
Does the country you come from play a role in your anarchy? What is its impact? Do you consider any aspect of your anarchy to be unique to where you live? Are those aspects desirable? How do you view anarchy?
Wait, you're going too fast. Okay. I wanted to go... So the first one we already went through.
Yes.
Is there any aspect unique? Sure. Desirable. It depends on, like... If you bring it to you, you probably think it's desirable, you know, if you...
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, the U.S., like I was talking about before, like, I think the U.S. has a relatively unique relationship to, like, what we call individualist anarchism here. That is, like, uniquely dog shit to any other country in the world, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, right, like...
I do have a problem with how here in the U.S., like, the what you guys call libertarian, which just that fucks me up, because libertarian means anarchist, and it makes me mad that people so easily use it in another way. So this kind of shit makes me mad here, like, and how how here it's so interchangeably... Specifically, if we want to call anarcho-individualism and fucking what these people call libertarian, that it's not, like, the how this intertwines so easily here, it fucks me up. I don't think that's something that doesn't happen in other places. I mean, I think it's happening more and more, but people used to say, fuck you, you're not a fucking libertarian, you know, you don't use this word, or call someone anarcho-capitalist, fuck you, that doesn't exist, you fucking stupid,
yeah,
fucking moral asshole and parasite, whatever.
Yeah, well, and yeah, and I think the result of that is, like, I mean, people who have traveled a lot in the U.S. outside of cities, especially, like, will know that there is a whole, like, brand of, like, rural anarchists that are not socially connected to the, like, larger anarchist milieu that when they say anarchist, they just mean, like, against the state, you know? And it's not that they would identify as, like, anarcho-capitalists either, but just, like, in their minds, like, they're not... Neither the literature nor, like, the cultural products that come from the same ideas as the literature have, like, reached them a lot of the time, you know? And so, like, yeah, like, I feel like... when I used to travel, and, you know, this wasn't pre-internet, but it was, like, the mid-2000s, so, like, pre the social media internet, so, like,
mm-hmm.
You'd get picked up by people or wind up hanging out with people, you know, just through, like, hitchhiking and stuff that, like, identified as anarchists, and now we would, like, know those people as, like, sovereign citizens,
yeah,
right? Or you would know those people, yeah, again, as, like, libertarians or whatever. But it was all very soft and mushy, you know? Like, I think, like there was this whole section of, like, the very right-wing, like, militia movement, right? That, like, I don't think the people that started that didn't know that it was hardcore white supremacist, but I think that, like, the photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy people of that, like, don't actually know that it's, like, that, you know, that it was just, like, a cover for, like, the white power movement, you know? And actually, like, do get, I mean, like... Yeah, even in the mid-2000s, like, a lot of them were still using, like, the Gadsden flag, or even, like, the Confederate flag, you know what I mean? Just, like, wild shit, where it gets mutated as it spins out, you know? Yeah. And, like, ideas just land, but they land in, like, the most bizarre soil and grow strange, hideous plants that are, like, very, yeah, uniquely American, I would say. I don't know whether or not one would count those people as anarchists, but I think...
No.
Well, no, I just mean, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if it's, if it would be worth saying that, like, that's a uniquely, like, American, I don't know, a person who calls himself an anarchist and genuinely believes they are, you know.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. I mean, there, like, so there was even that, those folks... If you've watched, like, that that horrific HBO series, like, The Anarchists, there are those, there's that couple, and, like, one of their friends or whatever that goes down there that are not the, like, weird, you know, like, financialist fucking, like, rich anarcho-capitalists. They're, like, two or three kids who absolutely, if they had, like, run into crime think first, you know, would have been that type of anarchist, you know, like they're trying to, like, live on squats and you know, grow your own food, and they're living out of their car, you know, like they're not like weird crypto bros or whatever. Yeah. You know, but because, like, the term anarchist in the US can even be, like, such a loose definition, like, these folks wind up going to this fucking anarcho-capitalist thing. And it's not like they're, like, anti-capitalists either. They just, like, the lack of the use of the word capitalism in the U.S., I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, can leave it out of the picture entirely. And again, I think now that, like, the internet exists and, like, left and right are very rigidly defined and all that stuff, I think there's, like, less of those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I definitely feel like in the, like, late 2000s, mid 2000s, I mean, many of them came, like, pouring into Occupy, you know, with, like, wild ass conspiracy theories and shit like that. And I do think I was listening to somebody, they're not an anarchist, but I was listening to this talk by Boots Riley recently, and he hits on a kind of interesting thing with, like, the gun culture, that, like, a lot of the, like, right-wing anti-government gun culture is in places that used to have, like, very high union, like, militant union density.
Yeah.
Right? And so you've got these folks where... a lot of the, like, not just, like, the hunting gun culture, but the, like, rebellious gun culture comes out of, like, having shootouts with company thugs, but also, like, the state when it is interceding on behalf of a corporation, you know? Yeah. And then somewhere along the lines, because we, like, because the word capitalism was basically banned in the U.S., you know, for the second half of the 20th century... not because it wasn't here, but because it was the water we were swimming in, you know? And so, yeah. Like, you don't even see it. Like, this, like, rebellious gun culture becomes very strictly about the state, you know? And, like, the corporate analysis, falls away. And I feel like the same thing happened and, like, yeah, bred this weird, hideous bastard version of, like, rural anarchist as well.
Yeah. You're talking about gun culture, and then I get hung up in words, and so I'm rethinking, because I said earlier anarchist cultures, and I think that's incorrect. I do think that anarchism is a culture, and you have difference, like you know, but it's because it's a anti-authoritarian culture. And it's different, like, and then when, like, as an example, people like to say rape culture, and it's not rape culture, it's an authoritarian culture. That's what it is, because it's like it's the abuse, and it can be in so many forms, and it's not a rape culture. This is a word that, this is a group of words that it's very inaccurate, to say the least. So I'm going back. Words are important for me. So I needed to change
so
that.
You can call them anarchist subcultures or whatever if you need to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I just thought that was I think anarchist is, even though with all the difference, it is a culture, and
it's a monoculture. It's just one culture.
It's a culture that part of this culture is being like diverse. This is, you know, this is part of the culture. It's heterogeneous instead of being homogeneous. I'm probably mispronouncing all these words. That's fine.
Homogeneous,
heterogeneous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So there is that. Those are. So yeah, being so different within itself, it's part of the anarchist culture, I think. I don't have much more to say. So if you wanna read the rest of the questions to see if I have any, or if you have, I don't know if you have other things to say too.
I've been sounding off on American anarchism. Let's see. How do you view anarchists from your country, from others? How do you think those outside your country view you? And how do you hope to be viewed?
Okay. So I do think that we talked about how a little bit about anarchists. Like, I talk a little bit about anarchists from my country. You did talk about anarchists from your. And we did talk about anarchists from other countries. And how they view me, have no idea, don't care, sorry. Yeah. And how would I like to be viewed, don't care. Yeah. Not my problem anymore. That's something that I passed with time. I think I cared more when I was younger, and I care less every time as I get older. Oh. Yeah. I do, of course, I do still care about, but not about some things, but I don't think that's one of them.
Yeah. I guess maybe, like, one thing that used to be unique to the US, but that we're exporting as quickly as possible, was the, like, again, because, like, another word that you didn't use in the US, other than to say middle class or whatever, right, is, like, class analysis. And so, like, yeah, you have, like, the identity politics explode from the U.S., you know?
Yeah.
I don't know to what degree they were, I don't know for how long they were unique to here, but definitely they have a head start here, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where everything is read through that lens. And again, I think that's the kind of thing, right, that germinates, yeah, in a country where, again, where, like, that aspect of the culture is created by a type of government repression.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Is this a rap? It's not a good rap, but is
it? Yeah. Ooh, can I do one
yeah,
more,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah,
is prior, I would say, to, like, David Graeber, maybe. And so, like, when I was young, like, anarchists really couldn't get a foothold in academia in our country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I also feel like the anarchist subculture here, like, having very little American-produced, it was a lot of zines, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's another reason why, like, Food Not Bombs and stuff like that was, like, part of how anarchism got carried around the country, as opposed to, like, yeah, and there really wasn't, like, anarchism in academia in any, like, meaningful way prior to, yeah, like, maybe, like, the early 2010s.
that actually reminds me of something that I really liked before about anarchism in the place where I'm from. And I think it might not be exclusive from the place where I'm from, but that's where I saw it. That was the thing of not compartmentalization that existed. Like, even like you had factory workers and people from the university and like all sorts of different people that were, that what brought them together was anarchists. And it doesn't mean that they agree everything in their anarchism, but they would live together, they would discuss, they would do things together, you know. They there was a common life there that I really admired. And I think I see, if and I think this is much more here, the here in the US, I feel like the compartmentalization is much bigger. Maybe it's not, maybe it's just started before. Like, I can see the compartmentalization taking place in the place where I'm from too. But I think here is much bigger, and there is, yeah, you have like, you barely has, the anarchism here is diverse, but in a very liberal way. And I'm using liberal here, I'm including what you guys also call libertarian, all these liberals, the Democrats and the non-Democrats, yeah. Liberals. There is this like you have this kind of diversity that it's not like it doesn't mesh, you know. Yeah. I think that this is bigger here, and I do not like it.
Yeah, so that's how people from outside our country view it. That answers that question.
Or I view. I don't know if
I know. I'm yeah. joking.
But that's something.
There's somebody that makes somewhere that doesn't view it that way. So
that clearly. But that's something that makes me think about something that I really liked about anarchism, where I came from. As I said, I don't even think it is exclusive from there, but there was something I really liked. Yeah.
All right, that's probably a wrap.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Another one in the bag. Donnie fucking don't.
And go mix up with other people a little. Don't be shy, or be shy, but get over it. Yeah. Talk to people.
Yeah. This week's podcast was sound edited by Rosa Nante. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel and...
Oh.
Oh. We
spitting out my teeth.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious and nipples everywhere.